Leaders do not need to have all of the answers. It's our job as leaders to hire great people, to tap into their knowledge, expertise, and wisdom, to have the humility to ask them for help and their input and for their ideas, and to work incredibly hard at clearing out the obstacles so that they can get on and do the job that we've recruited them to do. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. This is Ben Morton, and welcome to episode 50 of the podcast. As this is such a milestone episode, I wanted to mark it by saying thank you to you for listening, and a massive thank you once again to all of the incredible guests who have joined me on the show. I really am grateful to all of them for giving up their time, insights, knowledge, and wisdom with us all. I also wanted to use this episode, episode number 50, as an opportunity to pause, to reflect, and share some of the themes that I've noticed amongst all of the amazing conversations that I've had, and share some of my personal highlights from the second season of the show, that being episodes 14 onwards. Sharing my personal highlights is risky, I know, and probably not too dissimilar to giving an acceptance speech at some award ceremony or the Oscars or BAFTAs or whatever, in so much as you normally end up forgetting to thank somebody, right? Or I'll forget to share a particularly powerful insight from one of the guests that we've had on the show. So that being the case, let me just say right now that I have honestly learned something from every single guest on the show. And I honestly hope that you have too. The podcast was created in order to bring you value and insights around leadership. And I really hope you feel that is what it's doing. So with that in mind, what I will share in this episode are some of those lessons and insights and reflections that really are front of mind for me right now. So then, to the themes, of which there are several that stand out for me. Number one is a theme that I've heard from so many guests on the show. It's something that I have long believed about leadership, and I was interested, fascinated to hear this came up unprompted in so many of the conversations. And that theme is simply this: leaders do not need to have all of the answers. Leading is a complex, complicated job at times. And just because we are the boss in inverted commas, it doesn't mean we have to have all of the ideas. It doesn't mean we need to solve all of the challenges. And it certainly doesn't mean we have or need to have a monopoly on all of the great ideas. Instead, it's our job as leaders to hire great people, to tap into their knowledge, expertise, and wisdom, to have the humility to ask them for help and their input and for their ideas, and to work incredibly hard at clearing out the obstacles so that they can get on and do the job that we've recruited them to do. But it's not our job, it's not the job of a leader to have all of the answers. The second theme that has come through so clearly in the first 49 episodes of the show is one around really being yourself as a leader. Again, so many guests spoke about how when they stepped into their first MD or CEO role, or even their first senior leadership role as a director, maybe, they were perhaps trying to be somebody else, perhaps trying to replicate or copy a famous leader, a leader whose book they'd read or seen on some TV show. They perhaps were trying to copy a former boss or take an approach from a particular leadership book that they'd read. And so many of them described how that approach didn't work. It didn't feel right. It felt clunky. They didn't feel they were having the impact and delivering the results that deep down they knew they could. And at that point, again, so many of them described how they decided to throw that approach out and go back to just being them, but working on being the very best version of themselves that they could possibly be. And when they did that, everything kicked on to another level. They built better, stronger, deeper relationships. They had a greater impact in their work, their teams, business units, or even their entire organizations just started to deliver better and better results. So they are perhaps two of the strongest themes that I've picked up from the podcast. And now to some of my personal highlights and sound bites. I want to start off with what Sarah Walker Smith of Shakespeare Martineau shared about her to-be list in episode 16 and how she uses that as a personal reset. Sometimes that's deliberate, sometimes it just emerges. Sometimes she spoke about how she did that on a micro level, just in the moment. At other times it was more macro and, as I said, very planned and very deliberate. She shared how she would regularly pause to reflect and write down what she stands for, who she wants to be, and where she thinks she can make the biggest difference, and how she is always constantly connecting this back to her purpose, which again is something she very deliberately did a lot of work on, to the point where she could distill it down into one line. I really think that this deliberate and intentional approach to leadership is something that we can all learn from. I was then also really struck by what Haseeb Ahmad said in his episode and the candor with which he spoke about his personal leadership journey in episode 19. And he shared with us how in the early part of his career, he would focus on lighting a fire under people's feet to motivate them. He wasn't so much a leader back then, but a quite firm, directive manager. And then he realized that that was having a limited and perhaps short-term impact. And having reflected on that style, he now very much focuses on trying to light a fire in the hearts of those that he leads, to truly understand them, to understand what motivates them, and to connect them to the goals and tasks at hand. My next highlight was from Tessa Clark of Olio, the food sharing app, and what she said around imposter syndrome in episode 21. I know from my work and from my own personal experience that imposter syndrome is something that so many leaders struggle with from time to time. And at the same time, few speak about openly. Many clients of mine will happily talk about it to me as their coach behind closed doors, but will speak about it far less freely, if at all, with those that they lead. Tessa spoke about how she believes it can be an extremely powerful thing to share some of our vulnerability with our teams from time to time, and how it can be really powerful to let them know that we too grapple with it, and we're not always totally awesome, and we don't always have a total handle on everything that's going on. And she also spoke about how she believes this in turn gives others the confidence, the courage, and perhaps the conviction to know that they're on the right track, and more importantly, that it's okay to have a wobble from time to time and ask for help. This then leads really nicely into a tip that I took from Dr. Paul Brewerton, founder of StrengthScope, from episode 25, when he spoke about how we can try to tame our own inner critic and quieten down and perhaps pay less attention to that voice of doubt that we all have in our head again from time to time. And his tip was to really and simply be kinder to ourselves in the way that we talk to ourselves. And the bit that I particularly loved was his very specific tip around using our own name when we're doing so. If you've not tried this, folks, seriously, go away and give it a go. It makes a massive, massive difference. Another insight that really stands out in my mind is one from Peter Cheese, who is the CEO of the CIPD, or Chartered Institute for Personnel and Development, the HR Institute, if you like. And what he shared around focusing on principles instead of rules in terms of how we lead the people in our organizations. And here he was talking particularly, but not exclusively, about how we start to emerge from the COVID-19 pandemic and build back new ways of working. I found this particularly refreshing, as human resources is a function that, in my view, actually in many cases tends to focus quite heavily on rules, policies and procedures. And I think I can say this because I'm a former head of HR myself. He spoke very eloquently about moving away from long lists of policies and practices that are applied to the majority in order to prevent what is likely to be a minority acting in the wrong way. I just found like this approach and what he shared so refreshing, and love the way that it really emphasizes treating people like adults and treating people and seeing them as the human being that they are. Another couple of episodes that really stand out for me were the two nutritionists that we were fortunate to have on the show. So that was Carola Becker and Emily Turnbull, a much more recent episode there. I particularly love what Carola shared when she spoke about how we can avoid that 3 p.m. energy slump or dip that so many of us get, and how she's frequently asked by her clients, people attending her seminars and webinars, they ask her, like, what should I be eating at 3 p.m. to help me through that energy slump? And her answer was just a great example of asking better questions or asking a different question, and how that can lead to a very different outcome, which, as an aside, is an approach that I love. So Carola's answer was, don't think about, or don't ask, what should I be eating at 3 p.m. to avoid that energy slump. Instead, rewind and think about, what can I eat at lunchtime going forward that is going to fuel me and sustain me and stop me getting that energy dip at 3 p.m. And in a similar vein, Emily Turnbull spoke about and shared some tips on how we can avoid the working from home snacking and cravings, and perhaps stopping ourselves reaching for the wine, a gin and tonic, or the tea and biscuits as soon as we end the working day, by being more mindful. By in those moments when we're about to habitually, automatically pour ourselves a glass of wine, just stopping, pausing, and asking ourselves, what can I do in the next 5 minutes that will make me feel just 5% better? I just loved that approach, and it's something I am trying to do myself. Then there were our two retired military generals in episodes 33 and 44. Perhaps, knowing my background, it's not surprising that these two stood out for me, but I think they really were incredible episodes, just rammed full of insight and wisdom and leadership tips that we can all practically go away and apply. I loved my conversation with General Everard, who was the former Deputy Supreme Allied Commander for Europe for NATO. And I must admit, I was more than a little bit anxious interviewing him, and I went straight back to being young Captain Morton in the army, speaking to a very, very senior general in the army. So I had to do my very best to contain my nerves and get out of my own way. But there was something that General Everard said that really and literally stopped me in my tracks. And it was when he started talking about the fact that he has always felt that a happy headquarters was an effective one. Hearing an army general talk about placing a focus on happiness, the happiness of those that he leads and commands, was slightly mind-blowing, I must admit. Now, I've long believed this myself, and there is so much research into happiness and the real-world business productivity benefits that it brings. There's just so much research emerging around this. And indeed, we've heard from some of those leading thinkers. We've had Dr. Paul Brewerton and Dr. Vicky Barnes, both psychologists who've got a big area focused on positive psychology, talking about this. And very recently, we had Professor Sonia Lubomirsky, the author of The How of Happiness, who spent pretty much her entire working life studying happiness. She's been speaking about it as well. But I didn't expect to hear it from an army general. I really do think if they are thinking about this in the military at the highest echelons, if they are thinking about happiness in NATO headquarters, I just certainly think we can be thinking about it in terms of our teams, our departments, our business units, or even our businesses. Another highlight of mine, again, this was another stop me in my tracks, mouth open, drop the pen moment, came from Jan Gooding, who was the former chair of Stonewall and has also done a number of very senior roles in business. The point that really made me stop and think was how she spoke around when she was the chair of Stonewall. She focused on recruiting cultural misfits as opposed to cultural fits. She would seek people who had different values. She would seek to recruit people who were culturally different. But she was always seeking to recruit people who had a shared and common purpose with what the organisation stood for. The reason this resonated with me so much is for so many years, we've heard and seen and read a lot around recruit for cultural fit and train for skills. Don't recruit for skills. You need to recruit people who fit the team's culture. And I suddenly realized, yes, that absolutely has some benefits, but it comes with a real risk as well, in that we end up recruiting people who are all very, very similar. And that means we start to create echo chambers with the same thinking, the same thoughts, the same approaches. And in doing so, we are actually starting to design out diversity of thought, which will in turn reduce innovation. And then there was Colonel Caroline Woodbridge, who just shared so many fascinating points, perspectives, and leadership tips and tactics with us. But I particularly loved what she said and shared around resilience. I was really struck by her point around how you really need to lead the management activity that we're responsible for in our organizations. I absolutely believe that leadership and management are two different things. And regardless of what level we're operating at as leaders, there'll always be three big buckets of activity that we need to focus on. There'll always be stuff that we personally need to do. There'll always be stuff that we need to manage, and there'll always be leading to be done and people to be led. I call this the leadership equalizer, by the way. But what really struck me was Caroline's view and point that whilst there will always be management activity, we need to make sure we are leading that management activity. I also loved what Caroline shared around how she is very conscious and intentional about where she physically places herself in the organisation, moment to moment. And this will depend on who she's interacting with and the impact that she wants to have. As I said at the start of this episode, folks, these are just some of the highlights that are front of mind for me and I thought about as I sat down to reflect on the past 49 episodes. There are literally hundreds more I could have chosen, but I had to focus it down to just a few for you. And I'd love to hear some of your personal highlights. So please do, please, please, please do share them on social media by tagging me and using the hashtag LeadOn. And let's try and get that conversation started. And indeed, it will help me understand what's resonating with you so I can ask better questions going forward and bring you kind of more guests that you're going to enjoy listening to and learning from. And now to the future, folks. Now to the future. I have to say I am honoured, humbled, surprised and completely blown away by some of the guests that we have got lined up for you and some of the potential conversations that we are having. We have episodes coming up in season 3 that include General David Petraeus, former US general and a former head of the CIA. We've a US ambassador who we're going to be talking to. And we're going to touch on how leadership changes in the political arena, amongst other things. And amazingly, we are one connection away from former President Barack Obama. Like, I don't know if we'll ever get him on the show. I suspect we probably never will. But if there is one thing I've learned from doing 49 episodes of this podcast, is that if you don't ask, you don't get. So I'm going to ask the question and we'll see what happens. We'll also be talking, hopefully, amongst other people, with a deputy CEO of the World Wildlife Fund in Norway. So that will be a completely different angle again. We have James Arthur Ray, who some of you may have heard of, who went from being one of the world's leading, one of the absolute world's leading motivational and personal development gurus to being incarcerated in a US jail for negligent homicide after the death of 3 clients at a sweat lodge at one of his events. That, I'm sure, will be an episode not to be missed, having heard James speak at a conference and having recently read his book. And finally, folks, to wrap up episode 50, if you are enjoying the show, if you are getting value from it, then can I please ask 2 things of you, my dear listeners? Number 1, please do rate, review and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to the show, as this really does help us to keep bringing you more and more episodes. And secondly, please do take just 2 minutes, that's all it should take you, to complete the listener survey via the link in the show notes below. This is designed to help us find relevant sponsors for the show going forward, because honestly, without these, we simply won't be able to continue with the podcast, and I desperately want to do so. But do not worry, my promise to you on sponsors is this. I will never, ever share your data with any sponsors. I'll only ever work with sponsors whose products I personally use, I truly believe in myself, or I truly believe will be of value to you. And my third promise to you on that is that I will never interrupt the main interview with an ad. They'll only ever be introduced at the start and end of the show. That's it, folks. That is the end of episode 50, my review episode. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode very soon. Lead on.